That's it for announcements. I would love to read our scripture passage for today, which comes out of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. And I will be reading from the New International Version, starting at verse 16. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Amen.
Good morning. Can we just turn to people around us, front and back? If you're home, go grab a cup of water, get comfortable, and we'll start there. Say hello to each other. So starting this week, Korean CDC has asked all the preachers to wear our masks while we preach. So I will be wearing my mask. Hopefully, it won't be too distracting. I already look scary, so with the black mask, I'm sure it won't be distracting. But let's jump in. The passage that was just read is the final prayer that is found in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a very interesting book, and we'll kind of cover that a little bit in down the sermon. In fact, this section, the last section that was read by Pastor John, this was a song of worship, actually. It was a song that was sung to the Lord as Habakkuk was on this journey, right? Habakkuk 1 starts with Habakkuk being confused, being angry, being upset about what was happening. That's how the prayer begins. If you read, it's a short book. And then by chapter 3, end of chapter 3, he comes to a place of resting and trusting in who God is. It's this beautiful journey. And this book of prayer really ends with this song that we just read. So three things that I want to highlight and walk us through this passage. It's all peace. One is the problem that Habakkuk finds himself in, the plea, his prayer in midst of his troubles. And the presence is where we'll land, the presence of God in midst of all that Habakkuk's dealing with. So the problem, Habakkuk's problem, let's look at the context of the book. Habakkuk, again, it's a short book, just three chapters, but it's one of the most honest conversations that we'll find between God and a man. One of the most honest, raw conversation of prayer that we'll find in all of Scripture, next to probably Psalms. And really, when you read this book, it isn't hard to understand like other prophetic books. It is not a book of theory or philosophy or ideas, but really a book where really the rubber meets the road. It's so practical, right? The way this book is laid out. It's deeply practical and earthy. You can almost feel the intensity that Habakkuk feels. In the context of this prayer, of the whole book, Habakkuk, who is a prophet of God, he was called by God as a prophet, who is deeply disturbed by all the injustices he sees amongst his own people. Right? He's been called to his own people, his people, and they're all just doing whatever they want. And they're not honoring God, they're not honoring the Torah, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And he's even more surprised and dumbfounded by God's response. So Habakkuk complains to God in chapter 1 and 2. God, are you going to do anything about all that evil and injustice you see amongst your people? And God says, you wait and watch. I'm going to send the Babylonians, and they're going to be punished. And I'm going to punish the Babylonians as well. But this is all going to happen. So Habakkuk is not happy with God's answer to his complaint. Because God tells him that the things... You think things are bad now, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And Habakkuk has just lots of questions throughout chapters 1 and 2. Right? Questions like, God, if you're truly good, why is there so much pain and brokenness and suffering in this world. I mean, throughout this coronavirus months, Emma has asked me, if God is good and God loves us, why is there corona in the world? And I'm like, that's theology like 501. And these are good questions. Questions by a prophet of God, questioned by a five-year-old. And perhaps, if we're really honest, we've asked these questions in our own faith journey. As we walk with the Lord, as we have experienced things in life, we've asked similar questions. By the end of this book, we see, right, from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, we see this journey, and Habakkuk's tone begins to shift dramatically. From someone whose heart was filled with confusion, grief, anger, and protest, to someone who finds comfort and satisfaction in Yahweh. It's not that at the end of his book, he finds answers. Book of Job. The whole book is about Job asking God, why this? Why that? Why did you take my family away? Why make me suffer? And at the end, God doesn't really give him an answer. God says, actually, what do you know about running the world? What do you know about what I know? And in a similar way, that's how the book of Habakkuk ends. But there's this beautiful confession of a man who's moved away from being angry, confused, to a place where he's like, okay, God, no olive, no fig, all good. As long as you're there, I'll find strength in you. This is hard, because from chapter 1 to end of chapter 3, none of external circumstances have changed. If anything, right, if you look at Habakkuk's situation and situation of God's people, it's only gone from bad to worse. Right? Injustice have not ceased. His own people have not turned away from their sin and turned to Yahweh. And what's worse is the enemy nation, in our text, the enemy nation, Babylon, is at their gate, ready to pounce. Look at verse 16 with me. Chapter 3, verse 16. I heard and my heart pounded. Habakkuk hears that his enemies are on their way. They're ready to pounce. He says, my heart is pounding. I hear my heart. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bone and my legs trembled. So his heart is pounding. He can't seem to stop shaking. He knows soon, once again, if his enemies break in, life will forever change. Yet verse 16, yet somehow we see Habakkuk finding strength to utter the words, or to sing the song we find in verse 16. What are the words? I will wait quietly for the day of trouble. I will wait quietly for the day of trouble. So that's the context of this prayer. That's the context of the whole book of Habakkuk, and that's the context of the verses we find today. He's not praying these beautiful words in plenty. He's not singing this song in peace or in health. He's not safe, but it's a choice. He chooses to sing the song of trust and gratitude unto the Lord, despite what was happening. So let's look closely at what he's praying. Let's look at Habakkuk's plea, his cry. Verse 17-19, as it was read, even though the fig tree does not bud, although there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So Habakkuk, he's saying, no matter how hard things may get, no matter how hard things are now, and no matter how hard things will get, because he understands once the Babylonians come into his city, things are going to get worse. Yet he says, I'm going to choose to rejoice in the Lord. And the word rejoice here is alas in Hebrew, which is often translated as joy, rejoicing, as it should. I think that's a good translation. But it also carries this understanding of overcoming. There's a sense, there are many words that can be translated as joy, but this particular word here in our text, it could also carry the sense of overcoming. Really, this idea of overcoming a test or trial. Habakkuk feels that he's being tested. Habakkuk feels like he's in the fire, and he says, I will overcome joyfully. And so he's declaring, right, in verse 17, 19, he's declaring that his confidence is not dependent on any of his external means. He lists all the sources of food and agriculture commerce of the ancient world. These are all the important things for people to survive. Figs, grapes, olives, sheep, cattle. These are all the things that people needed in their context and culture to be able to survive. Yet he says, no fig, no grapes, no olives, no sheep, no cattle. You know what? It's okay. I'm going to still rejoice in Yahweh, my Savior. Beautiful. Beautiful, but hard. I mean, this is not an easy confession. It sounds beautiful, and it should move us. It should move us to a place of, wow, that's a wonderful prayer, until you have to pray it yourself. This is a beautiful prayer to read, but when you're forced, when you're in the fire, when you're in that trial, when you feel like all the walls of your life is closing in, it is a very, very difficult prayer to pray. Because when we find ourselves in the storms of life, the temptation is what? The temptation is to hold on to or look to the things, to put our confidence in things that we can see. That could be your strength, own strength. That could be your own solution to the problem. That could be someone or something else. Because we can see it. There's hope. Yet we know deep down inside the answers to our problems, whatever that may be, our addictions, our depression, our fears are not within. Then where can we turn for strength and comfort and hope? If it's not within, where is it? The third point is God's presence. This is where Habakkuk lands the plane after all the complaining, all the sort of back and forth with God. This is where he lands the plane in verse 19. This is why he could actually confess what he's confessing. And verse 19 says, the sovereign Lord. We've got to circle sovereign. Habakkuk is declaring a character of God that's very important. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He's saying, my strength is not my crops. It is not my reputation. It is not my relationship. It is not anything that I can see. It is actually the Lord who is sovereign. Everyone say sovereign. So throughout the scripture, sovereignty of God is one of the major teachings of scripture. Over and over again, we are told that God is sovereign. And sovereignty simply means God is the ultimate source of power, authority, and everything that has life. But it also means he is always present. There is no place where God is not. When we say God is sovereign, yes, we're saying he's powerful, he's all-knowing, he's got everything in control. At the same time, we're also saying he is with us. He is present. So when Habakkuk declares in our passage God to be sovereign here in our text, he's saying, God, despite all that's happening around me, despite all the things that will happen, you are in control. Nothing in my life, nothing happening in my life happens without your influence, your authority, but more importantly, your presence is with me. Your presence is with me. No matter how hard, painful, and difficult life may get, what Habakkuk is saying is, you are in the fire. You are in my battles. You are in my fears, in my darkest nights, in my deepest valleys. In fact, you are fighting my battle. When Habakkuk says, Lord, you are sovereign, he's not just saying, you're with me. No, you're fighting these battles. Just like the song we sang, even though we cannot see it, you're working, you're moving, you're the way maker. That's the song we sang. And from Genesis to Revelation, if you read through the scripture that God has given us, the Bible speaks of a creator God who longs to be with his creation. Right? From Genesis to Revelation, God created in Genesis 1, us in a garden. And he walked in the garden among us, with us. And in the end, Revelation 21, he promises of new earth, new heaven. And what's the main characteristic of new heaven and new earth? It's the place where God is going to dwell with us. Place of no pain, no sorrow, no more tears, because I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. From Genesis, the garden, to Revelation, the city, it's all about this revealing of this God who has created us, and yet He wants to live among us. So when Habakkuk in our passage says, God, in verse 19, you are sovereign. Yes, he's proclaiming the authority, the power, and the dominion of God. Yes, he's doing that, but he's also declaring God who is deeply personal. God who is deeply committed to you and I. And the one who is not only watching over us, but he is with us. Amen? I think that's important. God is not just someone who's watching over us and sort of watching like an audience would watch a show or movie. No, God is a character. God is deeply involved in our lives. And that's what Habakkuk finds comfort in, truth in. In fact, when you read through Exodus, I love this prayer by Moses. So Moses is praying to God, and God is fed up with his own people. And God says, you know what? I'm sick of Israelites. I'm sick of you guys continuing to mess up. The sin of idolatry is not going to stop. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to go with you. Moses, I like you, but I don't like your people, so I'm not going to go with you. And you know what Moses says? Moses says, God, if you don't go with me, what's the point of going? If you're not in the promised land, what's the point of going? If you're not going to be in it, what's the point of us going? And I think that's a beautiful prayer that depicts Moses, a man who understood God's desire. Because he knows God is God who desires to be present with his people. He was present in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the Old Testament. He was present and is present today through the Holy Spirit. So Moses says, you got to go with us or I'm not going to go. But listen to, but when we are in the middle of life's storm, when our marriage is hard, when parenting is hard, we got a lot of young families with a lot of young kids, parenting is hard. Parenting is kicking my butt. This is a hard truth to hold on to, the fact that God is with us, because what's the most common question when you and I ask when something gets really difficult in life? The question is what? God, where are you? Where are you in my trouble with my spouse? Where are you in my trouble with my child? Where are you in my struggles at work with relationships? Listen to C.S. Lewis. God's presence is not the same as the feeling of God's presence. God's presence is not the same as feeling of God's presence. And Lewis says, he may be doing most for us when we think he is doing least. He may be doing most for us when we think he is doing least. The very moment we ask questions, God, where are you? And we may not see him, but he may be actually doing the most. And he may be actually carrying us through that season. You know, Lois and I, we just came back from 3 months of leave. And I will be lying to you if I said I felt God's presence over us throughout our time away. That would be a straight up lie. In fact, many days I would cry out and I felt like God was silent. Yet as I reflect back on 2020 and all that we've been through as a family, as a church, as individuals, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God was present to even the most hardest weeks and months and days. And he is still present with us. And he's been with us throughout all of the things that we've been through. We may be exhausted, but God is not. We may want to give up, but God is still continuing to journey with us. We may be discouraged, but God is not. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're watching or joining, I don't know what battles you are currently fighting. I don't pretend to know. We have many battles that we fight throughout our week. Perhaps you're fighting for your marriage. You feel like your marriage is on the ropes and you want to fight even though you got no strength. Perhaps you're fighting to keep your business alive. It's COVID. You know, in this mall, half of the stores are gone. And perhaps you're fighting for your business, to keep your business alive. Perhaps it's your battle with your addiction. Perhaps it's a relationship or it's something else. But I want to encourage you that God is with you and he will not leave you. And he has committed himself to you. And that's very clear from not only our passage, but throughout the scripture, he is God who is present with us. And this is the gospel. This is the proof that we serve and worship God who is with us. Because we have God who is the creator. As a creator, God, he came into creation as one of us. Right? The one who holds all power, all authority, all riches, humbled himself by taking on humanity. That's the picture of Advent. We're going to celebrate Advent, you know, starting next week. And that's the whole idea of Christmas, that God who created creation came as one of us. He voluntarily gave away his power, his authority, his riches, his glory, and took on human flesh, flesh and blood. And we see Jesus, he became tired and weary. Jesus, he wept. We see Jesus throughout the gospel, who was like us, became just one of us. And he came into our world to lay down his life for us, to take on all of our sins and shame and failures, to not just come and save us, to walk among us, to walk with us in our suffering. And it's only through Jesus' life and death that you and I have been invited in. So no test, no trial, no storm of life can rob you and I of what we have received through the gospel, through Jesus. And the very Spirit of Jesus that raised Jesus from death lives in each of us. And therefore we can confidently trust and hold on to the words of Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, open to Romans chapter 8, 31, 39. This is precisely what Paul is declaring here. The whole chapter is wonderful, but I'll start from 31. This is Paul. He says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sore? It is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you and I from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you believe that? I mean, we read this and it's wonderful again. It's wonderful, like Habakkuk 3. It's wonderful truth. But I think it is a huge challenge as we face all the things that we've been facing, not only in our world, not only in our city, not only in our church, but in our homes. All the things we hear throughout the week, all the words of judgment, all the ways people want to define us, all the boxes that we feel like we need to be put into. The challenge is to really hold on, right? The world is telling us one thing, and God says, no, we are more than conquerors, and nothing can separate, not even your feelings, can separate the love that Christ has for us. And really, I believe that's what Habakkuk 3 is teaching us. And really, as for many of us, we celebrate Thanksgiving this week. Not everybody celebrates Thanksgiving, I understand that. But for many of us, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope this can be the prayer, the song that we sing. Not because we are in plenty, not because we are in health, not because we are doing well, not because our marriage is good, not because our kids are amazing and they never do anything terrible, not my kid, but because, again, God is sovereign and He is with us. Let me pray for us. Before I pray, I want to give you guys a moment. Let's thank the Lord. You know, one of the reasons I love this passage of Habakkuk chapter 3, essentially, when we pray the words of Habakkuk 3, what we are saying is, God, I worship You, not because of what You have given us, not because of what You have shown us, not because of what You have provided for us. I worship You because of who You are. And I believe, I have no doubt, that is the prayer that pleases God. To say, God, yes, you've given me a lot of things. Yes, You provided for me in so many ways. But really, before I go there, I want to worship You for who You are. I want to thank You despite lack of provision. I want to thank You despite chaos. I want to thank You despite troubles and hardships and difficulties. Because You do not change. You are sovereign. And you are not without us. You are always with us. Can we make that our prayer? Say, Lord, thank You for this truth. Thank You for this promise. Let's pray together. Lord, it's our confession as we read Romans 8. Often we're not convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from Your love. Often it's our confession that we feel separated from Your love. We feel utterly alone in our suffering, in our grieving, in our chaos. And Lord, sometimes we don't want to believe that You're with us. We want to just remain upset and angry. But Holy Spirit, we pray You would carry us from that place. Just as Habakkuk was on this journey from chapter 1 to chapter 3 to start with complaint and protest to a place of trust and satisfaction in You, God. Carry us there, Lord. Take us there. Lord, give us courage to come to You with our problems, with our concerns, with our complaints. And remind us once again, Lord, this morning that You are with us. That death nor life, angels nor demons, not the present situation, nor the future, nor any powers, no height, no depth, nothing in creation can separate us from the love that came down, that is in Jesus Christ. Thank You. Just let me pray. Amen.